it has been amazing since then. I hit 1 million in 6 months of releasing the courses. So it was a blessing.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with the Freedom Nation podcast. And I am super excited today to have Shara Gabaldon on the show. And she is a highly successful businesswoman in the beauty space and also just a great inspiration to a lot of folks. You are going to have a great time with her. If you Google her, she's going to look different than she does today because she changed her hair on us. It threw me off. But Shara, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
I am super excited to have you on the show. I read about your story ahead of time. Cannot wait to have a bigger conversation about it. So why don't we start off with that? Tell us your story. How did you get to where you're at today?
Oh, wow. So I think the best place for me to start off is just that I come from business, finance, mortgage background. So I was a tax and business consultant for almost 20 years and also in the mortgage space for about 10 years, somewhat of those both being simultaneous. And the market crashed, as we all know, in about 2008. So I started looking out and doing different things. And then I got to a point where I was at an age where I'm like, I've got all the success. I've got all this experience and knowledge. However, I don't have something to like fall back on when it comes to retirement and things of that nature, right? And so that's what kind of pushed me towards the government sector, if you will. So I started working for FEMA, the federal government. And I was in the office, you know, processing and whatnot. Anyways, long story short, I actually kind of just fell upon the beauty industry. And that is literally a story in and of itself, but it was more geared towards like me getting services for myself.
Okay.
But my business brain, pray that it works, right?
I could do this better.
I saw an opportunity. And so that is literally the short version of that. But I saw an opportunity for me. And rather than like me telling my family about it and talking to people and all of that kind of stuff, I really just went into the beauty industry privately, quietly, without telling anybody, because I knew that if I had told people, they were going to be like, Shara, you're effing crazy. You're like, what the hell are you doing? This is totally outside of your scope. Like, you lost a marble, right? And
why would you give up that good government job to go do this?
Exactly. That's exactly. And literally. So with that being said, I saw that I was very successful within about 3 months of launching my service-based business.
Nice.
Extremely successful. So I was working full-time with the government still, part-time providing services to my clients, but I was still bringing in $8,000 to $10,000 a month working part-time. Right? Most people dream of that
from the industry.
So with that being said, I was able to then transition after about 9 to 12 months of providing services. I had so many inquiries, I should say, in regards to teach me how to do this service, teach me how to do this. And so that, again, got my little business brain thinking. And so that's what transitioned me into offering courses and education. And so since then, I've been able to resign from my government job. And that's a story in and of itself. But I've also been able to resign from providing services. And so I solely educate in person, online, provide mentorship, coaching, business advice, and things of that nature. So that's kind of my story.
It's a great story. But I mean, let's unpack this a little bit and work backwards there. You're sitting there at your government job, collecting a paycheck, doing your job, getting your pension working or started, and you decide, hey, at this industry here, when you started to look at that, what was that kind of first step? Because I think that's where a lot of our listeners are. Sometimes they might have this little thing in the back of their head that says, man, maybe I could do this. What was that first step for you that got you started?
Surprisingly enough, so I was raised in a home with both parents who were entrepreneurs.
Oh, wow.
Talking, mom had the maid business all across town. She had the buses, had her business logo and whatnot. My dad was in portable spas and hot tubs and things. And they had rentals and they flipped houses and they were in Amway. And so this is what kind of upbringing I had, right? So naturally, that was just instilled in me to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. However, my personality, right, is a little bit different. So although I have a personality such that I'm very intelligent, I'm driven, I'm hardworking, I'm goal-oriented, I also don't have the mindset or the desire to like be the face of a brand and spearheader, right?
Yeah.
So I'm more of like the support staff, if you will. Yeah. And so I really have never had a desire to like, oh, you know what? I'm going to come up with this idea and I want to be self-employed. And like, it was just never, ever, ever. This literally like fell in my lap. And so I don't think that even in the midst of like making that decision to say, hey, I think this is something good. I know. I had no idea how good it was going to be. Like if I were to sit back and go 5 years ago when I had this idea, I envisioned, I knew it was an opportunity. I knew that because I was providing a service that was on the ground level, if you will. So there was only two other people in my greater, probably California region. Providing the service. So I knew it was an opportunity in that regards. But I did not think like, you know what? I really want to be self-employed. I want to leave this job. Like even while I was making millions of dollars, I still was like, no,
I want to keep that safe job where I go and sit in the cubicle all day long.
It literally was, and that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But the three things that kept me were my insurance, my retirement, and my life insurance. And so, when I said insurance, I meant medical insurance. So obviously once I got to a point where I'm like, okay, Shara, you really.
I can buy my own health insurance. My business is my retirement plan.
So yeah, like I said, there are those people that like have those desires. I was the one who, my significant other was the self-employed driven person. I was his support team, right?
Sure.
When he would be the one saying, babe, I really think you should, why don't we sit down and come up with a plan for you to be self-employed? And I'm like, no.
I just want to earn the side money. Yeah.
Yeah. For him, it was like, or for me, excuse me, it was like, one of us has to have a regular job. Let that be me. Let me go do my little 9-to-5, right? Have my little government cushy job. And you be self-employed and struggle in my mind, right? And struggle and whatever. So I think that this opportunity has completely transformed my way of thinking, in more ways than one, including like the self-employment and being full-time self-employed.
Well, okay, so that's one side of it, though. Are you still the I don't really want to be the face of the brand or anything like that?
No, I am completely opposite. So I would probably say within a few months of me, you know, starting the business, that's when I realized, like, okay, because again, I was doing this privately. I was doing it
secret,
right?
Yeah, you didn't share it with your family or anything like that. So yeah.
Exactly. So I was like this closet entrepreneur. So I realized very soon, like, okay, I need to post on my social media. I need to like engage with these people. They need to know who I am. So now when you go to my social media, when you go to our website, you Google the business name or Google my name, I'm all over there, right?
Yep.
Pictures, links, all that kind of stuff. And I realized that has been part of what has helped me to succeed, even with providing services and the courses, because people will call me, and as big as we are, I'm the one answering the phone, right?
Yeah.
So there's that level of trust that I've been able to build with my clients and my customers and students, followers, listeners, and whatnot, because they go, okay, this is a real person. She's down to earth. We can relate to her. She's answering the phone. Okay, so we know she's legit. So yeah, I'm all over there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one. I think people lie to themselves a little bit. So let's unpack that piece and say, one, good on you. You did make that transition, because I think more than anything today, brands are more about the personality of the brand than the actual stuff we sell, whether it's services, whether it's products. It's about the brand. I mean, if you Google Freedom Day, you're either going to get something about South Africa or about me. That's pretty much what's going to come up. And that's what I want it to be. I mean, I want to be that face of it. And I always say I'm the guinea pig for the brand. I'm the one that's out there doing all the dumb stuff that cost me money and everything else so that they don't have to. My tribe doesn't have to. So I think that piece of it. But I think another side of the coin for you that I think you did it the hard way. You didn't go to mom and dad and all your friends and say, hey, I have this product or service. They bought it one time and then they never buy it again. And you run out. So you feel like you have all the success at the beginning, and then all of a sudden the business fizzles. And that's really honestly where most people, I mean, I know I come from the finance and the insurance side of the world, and but most life insurance salespeople, once they've sold to everybody they know, which is, you know, kind of the path that most people do, okay, they run out of friends and family. And they're done. And then all of a sudden they start going, wow, this is really hard. You did it the opposite way. You went the hard route. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find customers who don't know a thing about me, which in a lot of cases is an easier way to sell. It's a harder way to find people, but it's an easier way to sell because you're not carrying the baggage of, oh, I used to change your diapers. Yep. I don't see you as a real business person, whereas that person sees you as a business person. So what would seem harder is actually easier if you actually go out there and learn how to create clients and how to create money.
No, I completely agree. And this is actually something that I have talked about for a number of years, even back when I was providing services, not providing courses, not mentoring and things, was that one, people think that you're family and your friends and the people that are closest to you are going to be your clients and your customers, and they're not. They view support, to them, support is equivalent to you bought my products, you paid for my service. That's not the way that your family and friends are going to support you. The way that your family and friends are going to support you is, that's right, Shara. Keep on going.
Yeah.
Way to go. I'm proud of you. Those kind of things. I can 100% tell you that in all of, because I provided services for probably about a year and a half before I resigned. But in that year and a half, I want you to just take a wild guess on how many friends and family that I actually serviced.
Probably maybe one at the most, more than likely zero. Three. Wow. Three. Way more than I thought.
Right. Three people. And now, mind you, you figure you've got 18 months of 8 to 10 grand a month, right? And I mean, I was making, I made 3 grand the first week that I saw clients.
Okay? That's awesome.
So again, we're talking hundreds of clients. Same thing with the courses. I would probably venture to say there's like, I think there's two people that I personally know that said, hey, Shara, I bought your course.
Yeah.
Right. Other than that, I do not know any of these students personally prior to them enrolling in courses or prior to them paying for, you know, a coaching session with me. Mm-hmm. So to me, right, I know that because in, I think that the, what do you call it, it out there in the world, out this idea that we need to go to our warm market first.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to tell you, that's probably the harder way to go. Because very much like you said, these are people that knew you when you were probably on a bender, right? These are people that knew you when you was a teenager, cutting up in the streets, whatever it is. They knew you before you were this person that you're trying to be now. Okay, so their level of trust is not there, even though you think it's going to be there. So to me, it was that I feel like you should do it the opposite, very much like I did.
Yeah.
And the other reason I didn't tell them was not only because I knew they were going to think I was crazy, but because sometimes when you share things with people, even though they're in your circle, even though you're friends and family, and we think they're going to support us, sometimes they are those negative Nancys. And you have this idea and you have this dream. So if you're going to share it with anyone, you should probably go find a mentor, a coach, somebody who has walked the path before you, right? So that they can guide you and advise you and support you and cheer you on and all of those things. But your family and friends,
Well, and I mean, when I...
successful before I...
Yeah, and in the new book that I'm launching, one of the sections of it, you know, where we're talking about kind of starting your little side gig. That's what I talk about in there is one, you should find a mentor or a coach that can help you. They're the ones that can guide you because they've been there before. But then you need to find other groups of entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs to be around. And especially if you can find ones that are way more successful than you, they're just going to drive you to be hard. You don't want to be around a bunch of people that are failing at their businesses. You want to find other entrepreneurs that are being successful because you're sharing that experience with them. And if they're a little bit farther ahead of you, then they can guide you along. Okay, I did this stupid, or I went the wrong path here. So maybe you want to take this path or whatever. So I applaud you because, I mean, once again, although it would appear the harder way, because it is hard because you got to find the clients, it is, I think, easier because you don't overcome the baggage. And don't feel bad about kind of leaving your friends behind a little bit, I guess the best way to explain it, because they're not on the same journey as you. And they might be more of a detractor, or in some cases, they might be jealous of your success and be that negative person around you.
Absolutely. Completely.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's talk about that. You were a service provider. So you're you owned a job at that point, and you decided, okay, that's not exactly the way I want to be. I want to start working down the other path of teaching people to do this. So what was that transition like? What was that thing that said, okay, this is how I want to take it now?
Originally, because the service was so sought after, not only by customers, but other providers, the providers were like, really, where did you learn? How did you learn? Can you teach me?
Okay, let's stop, because tell us what it was, the service that you were doing, because it's like, now everybody, I know I'm sitting here doing it, so I know everybody on the other side's going, okay, what did she do at this point?
Right. So it's actually called the Hyaluron Pen. So the Hyperon pen was originally designed and developed for, oh gosh, diabetes patients to administer their insulin without a needle.
Okay.
And so the Hyaluron pen was somehow transitioned into being able to plump your lips with hyaluronic acid.
Interesting.
And so I'm sure you've heard of hyaluronic acid.
Yep.
Since then, hyaluronic acid is even more so popular as a serum, like a topical serum for your skin. So the older that we get, the more our lips and our body naturally produces hyaluronic acid.
Okay.
So the older that we get, the more our body naturally loses the plumpness, the hydration. Mm. There's other factors involved. Like if you burn a lot of metabolism fast, if you smoke, things of that nature, right? You're going to naturally. So as I got older, I started noticing my lips weren't as plump. And I'm like, I know I did not have these little lips before. Like, what the heck? So
come on now.
The Hyaluron pen is the service that I was actually interested in originally to get done as a provider or as a customer, excuse me. And then that is the very first service that I started providing. And then this was in 2020. And then it was also the very first course that I released based on my own knowledge and education, my experience. Because, of course, anytime you learn something, you can be book smart. But when you really put things into action, that's when you learn the most.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's when I ended up transitioning. So back to kind of how I ended up transitioning. So originally, because I was being asked or messages in the DM, if you will, oh, my God, will you teach me? And I was like trying to keep this knowledge to myself, right? And I didn't want to teach anyone because I didn't want them to be my competition, right? And so I don't quite recall what the turning point was for me. If I'm not mistaken, it would be what we would consider like a business bestie, right? So you've got somebody that's also in business that you bounce ideas off of. You might vent to each other. And if I'm not mistaken, I recall my business bestie telling me that, for the lack of a better word, educating and training students in the beauty industry was a cash cow.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? And so this was actually in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than me teaching people or educating them or developing courses to provide in person, because again, I'm still working a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah.
The last thing that I want to do is work a 9-to-5. Actually, I was working at 6:30, but work at a 6:30 to 2:30, go see clients, and then at some point try to educate people on the weekends. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. In addition to that, like, that's not my learning style. So what I did was I developed the course similar to the way that I learned the best, which is online.
Okay.
That's the kind of student I am. So I basically developed my courses, and then just like my services, where I kind of was releasing them one by one, that's what I did with the courses. And I can recall it was September of 2020, and my first month I did 15,000. And boy, oh boy, did I think I was.
Whoa, that's way easier than chasing around town.
This is amazing. Like, I just thought it was the best thing ever. And it was very similar to me coming into the beauty industry and kind of coming out of left field, where people in the beauty industry are like, who in the heck is this lady and where did she come from? Right. It kind of took the industry by storm. So when I released the courses, it was the similar concepts. It just blew. So that September, I, of course, thought I was extremely successful. This is great. I'm working my six-figure job. I've got my services. Now I release these courses, and I am just rolling in the dump. But it was just, that was the beginning. That was literally the beginning. It has been amazing since then. I hit 1 million in 6 months of releasing the courses. So it was a blessing and then some. It's very similar to that. So for those 9 months, right, of me not wanting to teach other people, I had my fist closed, right? Yep. I didn't want to let go and give them anything, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as I opened up my fist and began to share the knowledge and the education and impart my knowledge and experience and all of that into people, that's when the blessings really came.
Yeah. It's that, that scarcity mindset versus being open. And if you give it, they will come. And I think that's the most amazing part of it is I think people make the mistake sometimes of, I just have to keep all this to myself. Yeah, you keep it all to yourself and you're not generous. Being generous with your information and time a lot of times can get you way more than you ever expect.
Oh, beyond. And I'm a true testament to that. Hello.
I did it. What's new in your world? What do you have coming up that you want to share?
Gosh. So what is new in my world? I am actually getting ready to be on a reality show. So it is
called
The Blocks.
Okay.
OX. And it is centered around entrepreneurs. New and upcoming, I believe there's like an income cap that you have to have whatever in order. And so there's over 80,000 applicants and I made it to the invitation.
Good for you.
Of 80 applicants. So I'm really excited about that. That is coming up in the end of May, first week of June. That's when I will be flying out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's about a 7-day boot camp, if you will.
Okay.
And that's when we're recording. So I don't have all the information in terms of like release. I know it's on Netflix and it was on Prime, I believe. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm so excited about the opportunity, the information, the education. Yeah. Like I'm a knowledge nerd, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I'm absolutely excited about, like I said, just the opportunity.
Like, it sounds somewhat like my guilty pleasure was watching the second season of Undercover Billionaire. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was, there's three people on the show. Grant Cardone, of course, who's the big real estate guy. And I can't remember the other two ladies that were on there, but it was, they basically took everything away from them except for $100 and they dropped them into a city with a vehicle and $100, and they didn't have any of their contacts, they didn't have their phone, anything like that, and they had to figure out how to start a business that would make $1 million in like a 90-day period of time. And it's really raw because you saw, it wasn't the typical reality show where it's like, okay, they're playing for the camera. It was pretty raw at parts where, you could see them kind of breaking down a little bit when they're used to being super successful and they were struggling because it's like, okay, you're starting from ground zero, but yeah, I'm excited for this. So you'll have to let us know when it's coming out so that we can share it with the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely plan on having the watch party, the whole show.
Oh yeah. It'll be awesome. I'm excited. Cool.
I'm really excited for the knowledge and education, the experience, but also the being able to rub elbows with other.
Yeah.
Yours. And that feeds my soul.
Sure. And especially really successful, other successful entrepreneurs on top of it, where it's like, okay, you can learn from each other so much. And just the connections that you're going to get for the rest of your life when you go through something like that together, it'll be fun. That is awesome. Let's transition to the fast five questions.
Absolutely.
All right. So the first one, you wake up in the morning, business is totally gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live. What are you going to do first?
Ooh, that's a tough one. All right. So business is gone. I would probably start with Google. I'm going to Google because, like I said, I'm an information nerd, knowledge nerd. I'm huge on researching. So I would probably start by whipping that laptop out, Googling ways to make money, probably especially now in today's market, something in the digital realm, right? Because very similar to my courses you develop them one time and you sell them over and over again. So in my digital course, I'm able to go in there, tweak it, update it, things of that nature. And that would probably really be able to enable me to create something new and sell and make money and then.
I like your partner there.
Thank you.
She's very pretty, by the way. For those of you listening on the audio, she's got a little one that keeps popping into the screen and all that. Those just all right. Second question. What's your biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I can honestly say not starting sooner. There have been so many things that I have done, whether it's starting the business sooner or making implementations or changes or updates. I have made some significant changes and updates to my business in the last 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
And every change that I've made has enabled my business to grow that much more. And I sit there and I'm like, I wish I would have done this sooner. Do you know what I mean?
Well, but so
I just feel like not being able to do things sooner. But at the same time, I don't like kick myself in the butt because sometimes we have to get to a certain point or it wasn't something that I just slept on. It wasn't doing right. Mm-hmm. It was something that in transition or not transition, but in the scheme of things, like it naturally came to be that.
Yeah.
Thought about
but you had to overcome what was not in your nature. I think that's the biggest thing is it wasn't like you were just waiting around for, I need to find a business idea. You weren't really looking for a business idea. You just saw that there was an opportunity and then your brain started going, there's an opportunity here, but you still had to overcome that natural nature to say, I don't want to be that out. I want to just kind of be behind the scenes and you couldn't really do that. So I don't see it as a mistake. It's just a natural. I worked for people for 25 years before I started my first successful business. It's okay. I had a lot of good years where I learned a ton in there. It's just, it wasn't until I finally had a job that I hated so much that it finally got me over the hump. I had really good jobs and it was like, why would I start a business? I'm making a ton of money over here and I have 4 weeks of vacation and insurance and retirement plans and all this. And I had to get over that hump.
Right. And I feel what's like a good part of what gets us to where we're at now. There's so many lessons that I learned in my business and finance experience, my mortgage, as well as like my struggles and my successes, that it is what has made me who I am today in my business, as well as my personal life.
So. Absolutely. So you got there as soon as you needed to. What's a good book that you'd recommend for the audience?
I can honestly say that I am not a book reader.
Okay.
So I said I'm a knowledge freak, but I'm more of a like research, online, things of that nature. So reading books is not my thing. However, I do enjoy self-help books.
Okay.
So self-help books could mean anything. Relationships, mindset, money, things of that nature. So anything in regards to that, I don't have one specific that comes to mind. However, I think the biggest thing that has really helped me over the last 3.5+ years has really been going to therapy. And I know that's kind of like taboo to talk about sometimes for people. The last 3.5 years, I've overcome some really tragic events, two very tragic events. And I don't think that if I had therapy, that I would have been able to get through them. And so not only was I able to get through them with the therapy, but I myself have noticed such a substantial growth in me as a person. And so I'm always advocating and talk about mental health, self-care. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you start to take care of yourself, then you're able to show up in your personal life as well as your business in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You're able to be that much more successful. So,
sure.
Like I said, I don't really have a book per se, but.
But I mean, I think that was a great answer to it, though. Yeah. I mean, it's. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. What's a tool that you use in your business that you might recommend?
tool that I use in my business. It's probably not something very common, but I would say maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I started listening to Louise Hay, and she's on YouTube, or she's not on YouTube. I think she's passed away since, but she has YouTube. She might even have some podcasts, or people probably have added her on podcasts, but she has meditation, and most people think of meditation like, I am loved and beautiful, you know, things of that nature. That's not her. She actually helps to like retrain your mind.
Okay.
And what we don't realize is that affirmations are negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're spoken or thought, mm-hmm. right? So she teaches you how to catch yourself mid thought of something that is negative, or mid affirmation that's something negative. And so with that being said, I have used that in my business. I've used that when I had a job before I had my business. And every night I go to sleep to some form of positive affirmations, meditations, whether it's self-love, whether it's prosperity, whether it's physical health, relationships, whatever it is that I'm thinking that the topic should be, that's what I go to sleep to. And it really just helps me to wake up on the right side of the bed, if you will, right? And kind of sets the tone for where my mindset it is for the day. And so like, it's probably a little different than what most people would think.
No, I think that's a unique tool.
Yeah.
And I think you're using it in a unique way, because so many people do like positive affirmations in the morning when they wake up, which you could wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and that may or may not help you that day. But I think you're doing it the opposite way, where it's like, okay, I'm kind of powering down at the end of the day, and I'm putting these positive thoughts into my head so that I have a long and restful sleep. My brain has all night long to behind the scenes kind of process whatever I put into it. And then you're starting off your day with, okay, now I'm ready for the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think it's a wonderful tool. All right, last question.
I wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and I'm like, put my affirmations back on.
Okay, then I'll go right back to sleep. Boom, I'm done. All right, last question. What is your definition of freedom?
I will 100% say that my definition of freedom surrounds freedom. I mentioned some tragic events, and my business has allowed me the freedom to navigate those on my time.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me resigning was because I had COVID, and I had a 2.5 month stint in the hospital, life support, in a coma, the whole shebang, right? Tracheotomy, all the good stuff. So recovering was extremely difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was like, I'm back. Like, I'm learning to walk, talk, and eat again. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Help me out here, folks.
Right. This is our federal government, might I say.
Yeah.
But 100%, I was off work for 6 months, no money for my job. My money was coming from my business that I have now.
Okay? Yeah.
And that is when I realized, like, no. Like, my health comes first. I'm going to recover on my time frame.
Mm-hmm.
No job is going to tell me when I'm ready to come back to work.
And yeah.
So that is what obviously stemmed my decision to resign and go full-time self-employed. But for me, the freedom to put my health first, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, financial, it doesn't matter. The freedom to put that first, to make that a priority, is so valuable. And I don't think, I didn't even have put that much value on it before.
No.
And now I just see things so differently. I'm like, if I'm sick, I'm like, nope, sorry, I'm offline today. My health comes first. Because if I don't put my health first, then I can't show up, like I said, in my personal life as well as my business the way that I want to.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you're a testament to why you want to have diversified streams of income. I mean, your parents did. I mean, they were entrepreneurs and it's like, okay, we're going to do this and this and this. And sometimes people look at us funny and go, why are you creating all these different jobs and businesses and all that? And it's like, I'm doing this to protect myself because every stream of income I create is one less thing away from me having something croak off or some kind of business happen. It's like the more things I can create or the more streams of income that are coming in, my life gets less stressful as I go. Yeah.
That was kind of my goal. Once I started making a good amount of money and whatnot, I'm like, okay, I've got this money. Let me start figuring out what to do with it so I can have these different streams. But what I found was I was like comparing everything to my success with my business.
No, sure.
You can't compare everything. Like you can't expect everything to have the same level of success. So, okay, you make $5,000 over here. You make $2,000 over there. You make whatever the numbers are, right?
Yep.
Once I started doing that, then it was a lot easier for me to bring on new ideas and diversify my income in more ways than one. Because comparing everything to, oh, no, I'm not making $100,000. No, I'm not doing that. It's like, wait a minute. That's $5,000 a month. That's still really
good. Yeah. I don't need $100,000 a month here. I just need a few, or this is a few thousand. Most people don't even make a few thousand a month. So that's okay.
Exactly. So diversifying your income, no matter how you're doing it, whether it's I've got an Airbnb, I've got the rentals, the box truck business, whatever it is.
Yep.
It's all going to come from little bits and pieces. So the stocks, whatever, right?
Awesome. You have been an absolute joy. I knew this coming into it that I my sense was this was going to be this way, but absolute joy to hear your story. Just, I think you're somebody that people will look up to. And for those of you out there, what's the best way if somebody wants to kind of learn about your world or connect into your world? What's the best way?
Thank you. And you know what? I will have to say this has been my number one favorite podcast to be on. I absolutely love having natural, organic conversation. And so thank you very much, Jeff, for having me. In order to reach out to me, find me, look me up, all that good stuff, you can find me on luxbeautyandbodyco.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, Lux Beauty and Body Co.
And it's L-U-X-E, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll put that in our show notes.
Absolutely. And is spelled out.
And is spelled out. Okay. So no ampersand.
I know.
You're good. Perfect. All right. So, Shara, thank you very much for being on the show. And folks, we do this for you. We bring people on like this for you. So make sure that you reach out to Shara if you're interested in learning a little bit more. If you're interested in learning about her courses and things like that, it sounds like it's a great business to learn about from that perspective. And she's a wonderful person to learn from. Also, our show, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that upvote, hit the 5-star rating, whatever you can do to help us get the show in front of more people and get these type of interviews out in front of the right type of people. So thanks for joining us on the show. We'll see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.